My goal for this morning, of course, to honor all the mothers first. And second, if you're here, that means you become a son or or a daughter, unless, I don't know where you came from. In Filipino, we call it liki ng kawayan. We have a lot of, it's like you don't came from a human or anything, right? So so if you're here, we hope to realize the value of the mother's lives, especially to our faith. That's my goal for today. Let's pray first. Dear God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time that you're using me as your mouthpiece. Guide me from error and prepare the hearts of everyone, especially the mothers, dear God. And, whatever your words are going to be saying today, may you continue to bless the hearts of everybody, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to show you a picture, a little bit of history. This person. You might be wondering where. Well, before, that's not my mom, okay? That's way back, the old people, I mean the Old Testament, they already appreciate, they won't be able to call it Mother's Day or whatever, but this is Anna Jarvis, okay? She's the one that first celebrate in 1908 in the USA, Mother's Day. What she did is that she held a memorial service to honor her mother, Anna Jarvis. And then she started a campaign to establish Mother's Day as a national holiday, and later as international. The U.S. Congress passed a law on May 8, 1914 that designated the second Sunday, which is the same with us here, of May to be the Mother's Day. The holiday was proclaimed by President Woodrow Wilson, raised the flag in honor of the mothers whose sons had died for war. So since then, we have this every second Sunday of May. Right? Okay. So it did not come from just like pop up. Oh, Mother's Day. Oh no. Yeah, okay. So there are different type of mothers. Right? There's four actually. Can we show the first one? The first one is. Oh, well, I think a lot of the mothers can relate this, eh? The authoritarian mother. Do this! Without even explanation or anything, no discussion, do this. If you don't do this, so the authoritarian mother is you raise your child according to fixed rules. Okay, that are not up to discussion, right? You expect your child to stay within the framework, right? Without complaining, but without explaining why, right? So a punishment if your child doesn't do as you say, okay? Raise your... No, I'm just kidding. Second one, the ambitious mother. 1 year old, 2 year old, oh, my son is a singer. Oh, a pilot. Little as we know, not even the parents are singing in the choir or not. I don't know if you can sing, but you already enroll your son or daughter to whatever singing contest, singing lesson. So you already sign up your little star up to numerous piano and singing lessons, you know, because you think your child is a true musical talent. All mothers think their children are perfect, isn't it? No? And it can be difficult for you to assess whether your child actually as talented as you think. When they grow up, you will realize they are not a singer. Or they're not an engineer. So that's an ambitious mother, right? And number three, I think a lot of us, or a lot of the mothers, even the dads, is this one. Empathetic mother. What's empathy? Okay, let me. You are good at helping your child with others. Good? Good or not? Good. It's like you, helping others, that's good, right? Okay, it's so like, parang you don't know what to say good or bad. And understand other people's feelings. Good, right? When your child is having a hard time, you help it put feelings into words, which is good. So it understands why it feels that way and why it reacts in the specific way. Okay? So if the child is upset, he will not laugh, right? So if the child is hurt, he or she what? She laughs. She cry. Or she's upset. You're also good at understanding your child and its feelings yourself. And although you can get angry with your child, you don't hold a grudge and you're able to say sorry, which is really good. The hardest word may be to say is saying sorry. Right? Is that you? That's the hardest word. Admitting that you are wrong. The last kind of mother is permissive mother. Okay? You are very loving, good listener, but you find it so difficult to set limits for your child. Example. When you go to the mall, you're walking by a toy store, and your son or your daughter sees a toy and then he likes it or she likes it, right? And you say no. What does the reaction of the child? Huh? Normal reaction. The child cries. What the permissive mother do? Huh? He says, no, we can't buy that. At the first time. But after a few minutes, she would say yes. Can relate or not? And there are not many consequences if he or she breaks the rules. When you say no, it quickly changes to a yes when your child cries. It is important for you to be friends with your child. And make everyone happy while makes it extra difficult for you to set boundaries. So that's just an intro, okay? I already have 12 minutes. If you can open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 to 15, can you guys read that? So this is Paul talking to Timothy. Okay. So Timothy, I think the youngest. Is it the youngest, Pastor? Youngest, right? No? I don't know, but he is very young in the ministry. And he needs more encouragement, especially from Paul. So, but as for you, so Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom. Okay, I want you guys to remember those lines, okay? Knowing from whom you learn it, and how from childhood, remember that word too. You have been acquainted with the sacred writings, the scripture, the Bible, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So we're gonna talk two things here, okay? First, from whom did Timothy learn the word? From whom? From Paul? In verse 14, he says, knowing from whom you learn it. He's talking about his mother, Eunice, and his grandma, Lois, Eunice, the brother of Josiah. Sister, no, the brother, because Josiah is the sister of Eunice. Josiah, sorry, I remember it. It's not in my notes. So, the mother and the grandmother. Where did learning happen? It says here. Again, let's go back to the text, okay? Knowing from whom you learn it, and how from childhood. That's verse 15. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Can you guys read that one? So, there you go. That's the answer. Where did Timothy learn it? Verse 5 of chapter 1, he says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your who? Grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And Timothy says, and now I am sure. Sure what? it dwells on you as well. You see how important is the mother and the grandmothers here. Grandmothers. Don't be, we know you're in the love cell group. I know the second milers. Mothers? Only one, two mothers? So, but as parents, you influence on your on our child's basic values. What are those? Religious, issues related to the future, like educational choices. Okay? No? Okay. So again, as parents, we influence our child's basic values like religious values and issues related to the future. The stronger your relationship, with your child, the more influence. Do you agree with that? The more influence you'll have, because your child be more likely to seek your guidance and value and your opinion and your support. It's hard for the parents when your child doesn't want your support. That's hard. I mean, what kind of relationship you have with your son or daughter? But if you have a strong relationship, you'll be able to influence your child. In fact, if you have that strong relationship, when your child becomes an adult, listen very carefully, especially those who have teenagers, okay? If your child becomes an adult, if you have that strong relationship, they'll probably end up with the same values, with the same beliefs that you have. You agree with that? So, if you don't have that strong relationship with your child, it would result into something because they're not seeking your support, they don't value your opinion, you know. Still not showing the childhood chart? Anyway, okay, let's just go. Actually, when we were in the men's retreat, we are so blessed with the men's. You should, 30, 32, something like that, 36 men's. And it's very, seldom to church having lots of men's like that. Usually, the women are more faithful in going to church. So men's are, the X-Men retreat, you know, we spent a lot of time sharing. How are we going to be a shadow of our children, you know? But again, this is not Father's Day, so we go back to our topic. Okay, Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Oh, there's the child. Okay, it's a little bit late, but it's right there. Can we go back to the chart? So, I'm sure a lot of you know this already. This is the stages of the child's development, right? From infancy, from birth to 12 months, 1 year old, toddler, 12 to 3 years old, preschooler, 3 years to six, school age, 6 to 12, and the very crucial one, adolescence, 13 years old to 18 years old. One of those, maybe your son or your daughter belongs to, okay? And every stages of the development of that child will be affected if you don't have that strong relationship with your child. So just showing you that, okay? So Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Where's the daddy? Can you read that? That's the answer. So, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there. Who's that disciple? Timothy. But Timothy's father is Greek. That means it's an unbeliever. Doesn't believe in the scripture, in God, right? But his mother is a Jewish woman, a believer. So Timothy, therefore, is a product of a mother who is a believer and an unbeliever, unbelieving father. So that's why he did not learn his faith from his father. Now you get it. Now you get it. Like, it's supposed to be the father that should be. So it's a different situation for Timothy here. Okay? So we'll go to the second point. The first one we have. What's the first one we have? From whom did Timothy learn the word or the scripture? Second, remembering the character of your godly mother to hold fast to the scriptures. So verse 14, but as for you, can we flash verse 14? But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learn it. Learn it from first the mother and the grandmother, the quality of Timothy's teacher. Okay? Her mother Eunice and grandmother Louise had taught him how to cherish the scripture and showed him what was in them. Why he should remember? What's the reason? Why? Because that will be a confirmation of why he should love this writing and continue in them. It was his mother that taught Timothy about the scripture, and not just his mother, but his grandmother. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandma and your mom, and I can sure that is in you as well. In verse 15, the good effect of the word of God to Timothy. From childhood, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So mothers, parents, continue to read the Bible. Don't just ignore the Bible. Remain in them. Abide in them. Because what? It will make them wise unto salvation. In verse 16 and 17, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Bible is the only book that shows the way to eternity. Amen? The only book that shows the only way. And there is no other way but to trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior according to the book. Amen? Almost done. Last Wednesday, I had the opportunity to, Alfie is there. I pick up this mom in Birchmount Hospital, Emergency Birchmount Hospital. I shared it to Pastor last Wednesday. I actually prepared a different message this one. And like I'm about to say, Pastor, I can't do it. And then last Wednesday, God knows how to push people in a different kind of way, right? So it was 12:10 noon. I have this customer pick up at 30 Birchmount Hospital at emergency. If you're in the Scarborough area, and you know I'm working at Welltrans for those who doesn't know. TTC. So I pick up this customer. Her name is Jennifer. A mom of three, 24 years old, 17, and 14 years old. A mix of Jamaican and a white parent. But she's kind of like 70, 80% white. So you won't even notice, but we're kind of like laughing first when she get off the when she get on the bus, because he said the only thing that I get from my Jamaican side is the butt, because they have really big butts, right? I was like, but I'm kind of like all white, right? So later we talked for a 15-20 minute ride from Birchmount Emergency Hospital to her place. She shared to me that her mom was there for a checkup in emergency. But later will be admitted because her mom's blood pressure goes down to, I think, 50 to over 30. So that low. So she wasn't allowed to come home, and I can feel tears in her words. We continued to talk, and I was able to share the gospel to this woman, and I think she's in the breaking point. Sometimes when everything is just you moms, you carry everything, and we just, even if whoever you, somebody that you can talk comfortable to, you're convenient to, you just explode and express everything. And I'm glad she did that, because maybe you never know, right? You know, a lot of people doing suicide because of those reasons, because of the struggles, because of those burdens. That I'm glad she shared to me. I shared the gospel. I shared our faith. I even introduced here to the church. I said, I'm from Glencairn Baptist Church. I said, you know what? I haven't gone to a church. And I believe that I don't need to go to church. You know? I just leave her, you know, share whatever she can share, and I share the gospel. And you know, it's, God is amazing. I never thought after that 15-20 minute ride that that would be a turning point for her life. I'm trying to like preserve my of course I'm working at that time, so I'm trying to get, but as soon as before we got off the bus, she said, "Can you pray for me?" So it's like, just sit down there, because I didn't want, like, she's standing and then there's lots of cameras in the bus and everything. What's this, what is Virgil doing? just they might think, why she's late for this next one. I don't care about the time of that one. I said, I will spend this time to pray for this lady. I just told her, just sit down there. I'll come over and we'll pray. And, you know, she can't stop crying at that time. I was just praying that she have that decision to really trust Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. I said, trust 100% Jesus Christ. Nobody else, no one can take you to heaven but Him. And I, like, I'm standing there, and then they just, yeah, you know, because I'm still working, and then she hugged me. I was like in the middle of, should I? you know, God is working in that time. I couldn't help it. It's the Holy Spirit that helps me to go through with that. And the only funny thing about after that is that a dispatcher. So we have dispatchers at work, right? So a dispatcher who's supposed to be monitoring me texted me. I was like opening the text. Said, thank you. Thank you for praying and sharing your time for that woman. I never realized that that was her friend. I was like, I didn't even know. And she said, please continue to pray for her. I think I texted you. I don't have my cell phone, but this new leaf of her life. So even if at work, wherever you are, if God will use you to share the gospel, especially, I'm talking about mom, grandmother here, that woman, you know, she doesn't have that faith yet. We are very lucky, especially the moms and the grandmothers here, that we have that faith already. But can I read that, Pastor? I just want to read this because I don't want to be distracted. Says the dispatcher, "Hey, thanks for praying for my friend and her mom today." So I didn't realize, right? Praise God, she's telling me right now she might be turning a new leaf. God bless you. That is truly great, the thing that you did. So, you know, when God uses you, you'll never know what's going to happen, right? Amen? Just submit. Just let God flow. I was like, after that, I was like, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready to for the Sunday. I May 2, 2024, around 9:45 p.m. I'm still at work. I had the chance to do eulogy for one of our friends, my best friends here, couple, Dodong and Marcus are here, for our friend, died of cancer, and leaving her husband and a 9-year-old boy. It breaks my heart that this 9-year-old boy will, you know, will never see that person again. It's hard to grow without a mom, amen? You agree with that, right? For us here with moms and grandmoms, we're lucky. They're still here. That's 9 months. They carry us from the womb. Average of 50 minutes a day changing diaper. Bath. Every 2 to 3 hours you fed that baby. 7 to 9 times a day. That's not even it. Sleepless night. When we are sick, you know, or just crying or something, we don't even know why this baby is crying. But we can't even have a 5 minute real conversation to them. I am sometimes guilty of it. My mom in the Philippines, she would call me all the time, but you know, I mean, it's every day already. It's sometimes like annoying. You put it on speaker and do whatever you do. 5 minutes. If you're a son, if you're a daughter here, they won't last. Remember that 9-year-old waking up for the next 50 years without his mom. Beloved, not just today, because it's Mother's Day, we will spend time with our mom. Spend time like there's no tomorrow. Spend time like there will be next time. And I guess that would be, they will value that. I know when they get old, they kind of sometimes annoying, but there are moms. 5 minutes. I hope you get something out of today. I just want to thank my mom for raising me, and you know, not really a very good person, but a believer. I thank all the moms here for all their sacrifice, and the grandmas. Especially your children, your granddaughters are looking up to you, your faith. Thank you for your time.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you
and give you peace.
And give you peace. Shine upon you
and be
gracious
unto you
and be gracious. The Lord be gracious unto you.